All right, everybody, good morning. Hey, as kick things off this morning, we got a baptism, so check out the baptistry right up over here.
This is Grayson Moss. Grayson is in Kids Zone, and about a month or two ago, he said he wanted to get baptized and recited everything to his parents. He was on it, he was ready for it, so scheduled the date, we're ready to do it, and we're gonna make it happen. So Grayson, repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
And I accept him.
And I accept him.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Of my life.
Of my life.
Grayson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Slosh, slosh, slosh. Isn't that a great sound? I love that. What a great way to start a Sunday. I'm super excited. Welcome everybody to worship this morning at First Christian Church. Give Grayson a hug. Tell him congratulations. You know, hug his mom and dad too. You know, this is a very, very exciting time. We just love it. So as we're getting ready to start here, everybody, just want to say real quick, hey, if this is your first time with us this morning, we just want to welcome you, say thank you for joining us. Glad you're taking some time out of your weekend to worship with us today. We're really glad that you're here. We're in the middle of an awesome sermon series right now. Yes, bye, guys. Goodbye. Go back to Children's Church. Enjoy yourselves. Yes, you're wonderful. We're in the middle of a wonderful sermon series, and so we're just looking forward to that, but also to being able to take some time and just praise and worship our wonderful, amazing God this morning as well. So we're just glad you're here. Make sure, everybody, if you can, check in those black books, or I still encourage you to download that, check out that Church Center app. We got more that we're going to be adding to that soon. It's really exciting. We're excited to be able to start utilizing some of this new technology and stuff that we've gotten. I think it's going to help us to stay better connected. So good stuff. That's a win. But you know what? Let's go ahead and stand up. Let's open with a word of prayer. Let's get to praising our God. That's what we came here to do today, and that's what we're going to do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you just for how wonderful you are. I'm just so excited that we can start things off with a baptism and another brother coming into your family, and it's just so exciting, God, and I just pray that, you know, you'd work in our lives the same way that you're working in his, and that every day we'd just be working to draw closer to you. God, may you get the glory through our worship today. May you be the focus in the center, and Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us as we hear your word proclaimed, and that you would just continue to morph us into what you need us to be to serve you better and to be close to you. God, we love you. You are good, and it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. All right, everybody, let's go ahead and start singing this morning. He is the same now and forever. We can have confidence in him. Let's go ahead and sing, because no matter what, he's the same. Let's sing.
Where there's water, you can part it. Where there's fire, you can walk right through new giants. Same Jesus, there's no stopping you.
I hear these are days of darkness, days of trials and tribulations. I see the pain, I see the sorrow, so much fear about tomorrow. We're not the first to feel this way. And all those who came before us had their demons, their deserts, their Jerichos. They can trust in who you are by remembering who you were. Story's still the same. Age after age,
your redemption song still plays. And age after age, you're the one who makes a way. Always.
Where there's water,
you can part it. Where there's fire, you can walk right.
Get another chance to show up and shine the light where it isn't. Bring some more sinners out of prison with just the power of your name. Age after age,
your redemption song still plays. And age after age, you're the one who makes a way.
our faith is as small as a mustard seed, there will always be Jesus. When all that we have is a stone and a sling, there will always be Jesus. At the end of it all, we can trust in one thing, there will always be Jesus. Where there's water,
come on,
you can part it. Where there's fire, you can walk right through.
Amazing how we can have confidence because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is everything he says he is, and we can have complete confidence in that. We're going to do a song now we haven't done in here before. You might know it, you might not. If you do, please sing it out so that we can all learn it. This is an amazing song that talks about the truth, the firm confidence that we can have in God, and is a declaration of what we believe. This song is called I Believe. Let's do it together, all right? Here we go.
Through, you are always able.
you believe it this morning? Amen. He is our firm foundation. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can have confidence in our faith in Him, and it is He which we can build our lives upon. As we come to communion time, remember the cross. Examine yourself. You know, think about what Jesus has done for you, but take confidence today that He is the firm foundation. Let's sing. Here we go. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would He fail now? He won't. He won't. Got joy. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I've built my life on Jesus, and He's never let me down. He won't.
Water is a pretty powerful thing, as we can tell. But you know what's more powerful? The blood of Jesus Christ. And I think that's an amazing thing. I've been reading through the Bible in the year, and right now Joshua is getting ready to cross the Jordan River. And I thought about that, you know, and like the Jordan River is not very big. It's somewhere between the Eel River and probably the Wabash, somewhere around that size. But what you got to look into the context is that during the flood season. So I know Megan's got a pretty big truck that she might be able to cross that kind of stuff. But right now, I don't think she could. I mean, that's a big river when it floods, you know. So you got to think of trying to cross the Wabash or the Eel River right now. That could be a bit of a challenge. And I think it's pretty amazing that he said, hey, I'll just stop that water and let people cross. And at the time, there was about 700 warriors in that was traveling along with Joshua. And if you think about that, with all their family and all that stuff, that was a couple million people that had to cross that river. And he goes, you think that's cool? Wait till I send my son over here. I'm going to send my son over to die on that cross for your sins, and I'm going to resurrect him from the dead. So he said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Watch, wait for this. And I think that's pretty amazing when you think about what our Lord Savior's done. He's parted the waters. And all of our songs today talked about that. But he's done anything greater than that. Not only has he overcome water, he's overcome death on that cross for our sins. And I think that's incredible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the fact that not only can you overcome water, you can overcome death, you can overcome our sins, and you put your son on that cross in order to give us grace to cover our sins. And I just want to thank you for that. As we're approaching this Easter Sunday, I just want to thank you of all the great things you've done. And this is a time to remember what you've done for us as we take this cup and as we take this loaf, that we might remember the blood and the body that was shed on the cross. And these things we pray, dear Heavenly Father, and these things we pray. Amen.
The red letters mean that Jesus is speaking. Don't you love the red letters? These words lead to a life of fulfillment and flourishing. You know, some of the red letters are stories or parables that Jesus said to tell us what God is like and what he thinks about you and me. That's what he does. The red letters are profound and wise. The red letters are not the words of man. They are the very words of God. The red letters remind us that God chose to write himself into our story. God became man. That blows me away. The eternal God that always has been, always will be, the architect of the universe that transcends space and time, who's all-powerful, all-knowing, who has always been and always will be, never made a mistake. became a human being, put himself into a frail human body, and lived on earth. Here's the context of what we've been talking about in this series called Jesus Said. And if you're joining us online, hey, we're glad you're with us, but it's not like being inside. But we're still glad that you're online with us. But the context of this passage, or these passages through John 14 through 17 or 18, it's Jesus is about to be crucified. And as he's preparing his apostles, his disciples, for what is to come. He's giving them his last words. And if you'll join me in John chapter 15, verses 18 to 19, he says this. And I just want to let you, hey, everybody, let's take a deep breath together. Go one, two, three. I'm going to say some really hard things today that probably aren't being preached anywhere else in the United States this morning, I'm guessing, or very, very 0.001%. John 15, 18 through 19 are some hard words. I don't know if I've ever preached this before. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Welcome to church. I'm glad you're here. You will be hated. Well, Chris, that's good news. No, it's not. You will be hated. Now, Jesus, if I say that once, I'm going to say it about a blue million times. Jesus used repetition in this passage as he was preparing his apostles. He's saying, because you are attaching yourselves to me, you will be hated. You could try to live a good life, a moral life, and you could try not to offend people. You will be hated. And the apostles, as they were merrily going along on this evening hike, if you will, this is the Messiah. He's the Savior, the leader, the King of the world. What's he talking about? And Jesus saying, I want you to know that when I go, you're going to be hated. And the way that he was going to be victorious was very, very different. He doesn't want them to be surprised or caught off guard. Oh, surprise, you're going to be hated. No, he was preparing them. Jesus gives us the reason why we will be hated. Look at this, verse 19. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Jesus is saying, you would be loved and accepted by the world, but I've called you out of the world, and now you no longer belong to the world. He's saying, you're going to be in the world, but not of the world. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you don't belong? I have, multiple times. And I kind of like it because I'm the odd duck out. I'm kind of used to it. And you say, well, Chris, you're a little weird. Yep, I am. I go to this exercise class. Charlene was in my exercise class. Go to this exercise class. I'm the only guy or one of two guys, aren't I, Charlene? It's a little odd in there, isn't it? But it's a great class. I pre-existed all of them in that class. I've outlasted them all. But it's a little odd. I go in, I get set up. Some of the ladies in this church that were in my youth group kind of helped the old man get it together, and then we exercise, and then I leave. It's just kind of odd. But maybe you've been in one of those situations where you just kind of feel like you don't fit in. I've been doing these HVAC classes, and they don't know I'm a pastor, and these guys are kind of, they're good guys, and I love them, but they're a little rough. Their speech is a little salty, and I typically don't tell them who I am. I'm kind of the odd guy out. They don't know what I am. They don't know what kind of animal I am. And it's kind of fun. I just kind of play with it. Have you ever been the odd man out? Jesus is saying the world hates that because you no longer belong to it. You're not part of the world anymore. He's saying you're no longer motivated by the same things as the world. You no longer fear the same things as the world. You no longer have the same agenda as the world. You are different. That's the way we are to live. The world hates what it can't control. We live beyond the world. Jesus says, I want you to understand that if I had left you where you were, the world might have offered you a hollow kind of love. They might have liked you. But I am calling you out. I am leading you into a life filled with true love and purpose, but it will also come with challenges, including the reality of being hated. He wants us to see that we no longer belong to the world. We're not of the world. We're of another world. And if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus, you belong to Jesus fully, completely, 100%. You belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. If we fully belong to Jesus, that means that we can't fully belong to anything else. We can't fully belong to a political party. We can't fully belong to a career. We no longer fully belong to our own family. Jesus says, you fully belong to me. I was kind of recruited to be a board member of an organization, and I had to sign a covenant. It was kind of fascinating. And they were asking that I would be, that this organization would be my number one. But they wrote in a clause that if you belong to a church, then that could be your number one, but we have to be your number two. And I signed it. I signed it with that condition. Because that organization is very important to me, and I believe in what they do, and they have a Christian component, and I wanted to add that Christ component to that organization and be a part of it. So I signed it with the condition that only one other thing was more important. I want you to experience that kind of belonging to Jesus, that 100%. But a lot of us, and at different times we're going to be tempted, we want to still hold on to our old way of life and add church and Jesus to it. And it just doesn't work. Is trying to live in between these two worlds where I'm trying to keep one foot in each world. And it's sort of like doing the splits. And I want you to see this picture of me. Yeah. I think that's pretty good for an old man. I just want you to know that that's artificial intelligence at its finest. But I do have that pained look, don't I? It's like that. You can't do it. Jesus is saying, I want you to embrace the fact that you belong to me. When you fully surrender to God, realizing the depth of his love and his purpose he has for your life, you begin to walk in that truth, you will encounter even greater hatred and rejection. And then church stops being optional. For some of you, it's optional. Well, will I go to church or not? Some of you are online. I'm glad you're online. I was told by someone that they were watching us online in a jet last week. That's kind of cool. But I'd rather you experience being in the room with us so we can love on you and you can be part of our family in a deeper way. You see, the family of God stops being this extended family reunion that I go to sometimes. Maybe some of you didn't grow up with a family reunion. I had that opportunity. We'd go every, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, and these were kind of like distant, weird relatives that we really didn't know, and we didn't want mom to leave us with them, you know, that kind of experience. Maybe you don't, but church is more than that. It becomes the people on this whole earth where I know I have a space where I belong. That's what church becomes. I grew up in a church like that. I grew up where we went to Sunday morning, Sunday school, yes, Sunday school for kids, and church, and then went to Sunday night service, youth group, and then Sunday night service, and they would change the times when it was summer, and then we'd go to Wednesday night. And in fact, on Wednesday night, I'd leave and walk from school. My middle school was a couple blocks from the church, so I'd walk to the middle school, and we'd have this thing called Bible Bowl. We'd have a snack, and we'd have Bible Bowl, and then we'd have this evening meal, Wednesday night meal. There were only 20 or 30 people there, and we'd go to that, and then we'd have another Bible study. It was like, we are Bible, Bible, Bible. That's kind of how we were programmed, and so that's how I turned out the way I am. But that became my family, and it was kind of like there was this midweek oasis, because I grew up in the public schools, and public schools were a challenge then. I'm sure they are now, and that was kind of the oasis where we kind of got refueled, and then we went back to our lives. And even on Wednesday night, we had this thing after the Bible study. They had this college age rap, what we called a college-age Bible study in prayer time. And we had an elder or the senior pastor and the youth pastor or a couple elders would lead it, and they would talk about current events and how they related to the Bible. And we talk about those things. And I learned to think and to reason with the Word of God and relate it to relevant issues in my life and at a very young age. I was very, very, blessed, very, I had a lot of people that poured into their lives. I was discipled through those experiences. But at the same time, I experienced so much hatred and persecution and people going against me. But I know, not just on Sundays, that I have people in my life who surrounded me, encouraged me, and I have a place where I belong. And so do you. Because you all belong to Jesus, all of you. All of you belong to Jesus. And you might say, if you're a guest or just coming back to church, you want to belong too. You might be saying, I want to belong. And here's the other deal. Is there, you might be thinking to yourself, is there another option where I don't have to be hated? You know, I kind of think like that. I kind of think that it'd be nice if I were liked sometimes. You know, and you guys kind of like me sometimes. And I feel good about that. And you guys online, you can probably like me more because you don't know me as well. But anyway, Jesus goes on and he says this in verses 20 and 21. He says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. So what's Jesus saying here? Did Jesus have slaves when he said they called him master? No. What's he saying here? Another word for rabbi is master. And so they were his students, his disciples, his followers. And he's saying, if they hated me, it is going to hate you. They're going to hate you. And that's powerful. And the term persecute means to harass or annoy. Now, some people have personalities that are just plain annoying anyway. That's not persecution, you're just annoying. But he's saying here, when you bear my image, you're going to be hated. I was in Toastmasters. I've been in Toastmasters for 12 years. I knew as a senior pastor, I need to improve my communication and my speaking skills. So I joined Toastmasters, and it met over at Rose Holman on Thursday nights at 7. Now we meet here on Tuesdays at noon. By the way, if you're looking to improve your speaking skills, I'm inviting you. Okay? Just a short plug for Toastmasters. But anyway, I was there at Rose Holman on a Thursday night. It was probably about 6:45. I was standing outside the building, up the stairs. And I can't remember the name of the building right offhand. But down on top of the stairs, waiting on people. And I was helping people bring stuff in. And I was standing out there. And one of the Rose professors walked up and said, hey, you know, he said, are you a professor? And I kind of smiled. I was kind of dressed like this. I thought, that's pretty cool. He thought, he thinks I'm a professor. I must look smart. Yeah, I laughed too. I said, no, I'm a pastor at First Christian Church, Brazil, Indiana. And you know, he didn't say another word. He looked at me with hate-filled eyes. Obviously, he had no use for believers. That's the kind of hate I'm talking about. John 15, 23 and 24, Jesus goes on, he says, in the red letters, he says, whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. You still may be thinking, I can do this without being hated. And we would all like that if we could. But Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. He loved people. He healed people. He served people. He fed people. He did miracles. And they still hated him. He would say, they still hated me. Jesus knew this life-changing good news that he brought was not good news for everyone. It has to be worth it if we're going to live in a world that we know hates us. The gospel has to be worth it. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we're going to celebrate this Easter as we do every Sunday has to be worth it. Worth it. Now, I want to warn you, if you're young parents, if you're older parents or grandparents, you already know this. Someday your kids may tell you that they hate you. If you've been hated for telling them something they needed to know or disciplining them, you know, that's just part of parenting. They're going to say that. Yesterday, our grandson came over to our house at 5:30 a.m. in the morning. I greeted him with a smile and lots of love and turned on the television so he could watch his Disney movie that he wanted to watch, and I was trying to go to sleep, and I had all the lights out, and the TV was on. I was hoping he would go back to sleep. And he said, Pop, Pop, will you turn the lights on? And I said, no. And he said, Pop, Pop, why are you so mean to me? I'm not making this up. This was yesterday. So yesterday afternoon, he was leaving. And he tells his mom, he looks at his mom, he says, Pop, Pop was mean to me. I get tattled on. I'm, you know, a grown man. I get tattled on. And I said, yeah, I said I wouldn't turn on the lights. I was mean to him. Poor baby. Suck it up, five-year-old. You know, you're going to be hated. Jesus is saying, I want you to know this is coming. Be ready. Hatred is coming, and there is no way that you can avoid it. That's just going to happen. In verse 25, he says, but the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. There's no reason. There was no reason for people to hate Jesus. But we were warned. He told us in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, he says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If you're hated, it's because you're living like I told you to live. That's okay to be hated for that. It's okay. But the question then becomes, am I being hated because of me or because of Jesus? Some of us are hated right now, and it has nothing to do with Jesus. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to say it kind. But you may be hated because you may be a jerk. You may be abrasive. You may be hateful. You may be sowing seeds of hatred, and you are reaping those seeds of hatred. How can I say that nicely? I might be hated right now. But in reality, I have to ask myself that. Why am I being hated? Is it because of my abrasive or my compassionate, loving, enduring personality or not? And sometimes I have to own it, and so do you, or so should you if you're a follower of Jesus. Understand this, Jesus brings enough hatred on his own. Just knowing him and following him and belonging to him brings enough hatred. We exist to remove unnecessary barriers that keep people from Jesus. We want to remove all of those. We want people to know him. There are unnecessary barriers that I need to be cleansed of, to be healed from, so that God can use me to tell more people about who he is. We want to attract people to Christ. To be made into the image of Jesus allows us to connect better with God and it connects us better with one another and be more useful in the mission of God, which is, we all know, guiding people home, bringing them to a loving Father, caring family, life-changing faith. That's not just something we say. We actually believe that, and we try to live that. We try to flesh that out. You see, we want to be windows and not walls. We want people to see clearly who we are followers of, not to be a blockade against them knowing him. We want people to see Jesus. We want them to know him, to live in him. Is there anything, we got to ask this question, is there anything about me that is making it hard for people to see Jesus? And we need to ask him to help transform that in our lives. You might be thinking this, I must be like blessed and highly favored because I can't think of being rejected. I can't think of losing anything for Jesus. I think you guys might be wrong about this. You might be doing it wrong. Let me just ask you this, kindly and personally. Do people know that you are a Christian? Do they know that? I don't mean wearing it on your sleeve, but to be living it out faithfully, following Jesus. Do they know that you're a Christian? Do they know that Jesus is the most central thing in your life? That he is number one? You fully belong to him. The world needs to know that you are a Christian. The world needs to know that you and I are God's plan A. There's no other plan for the gospel being shared outside of us, you and I. You are a witness. You are a witness for God, for Christ. Acts 1:8, Luke writes this. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. To the end of the earth. And then Jesus says this, following this passage, he says in John 15, he says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, the Holy Spirit, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus has these 12 guys he's relying on to make a difference throughout all of history. They're his witness. What does a witness do? They testify. They testify. You might be thinking to yourself, I don't know if I'm a credible witness. I don't know if my life reflects that. Now, there's a difference between an expert testimony versus an eyewitness testimony. You don't have to know everything about the Bible to be a witness. But all of you are eyewitnesses of what God has done in Christ through your lives. You are an eyewitness of what he's done, that transforming power. You might say, I'm not perfect. I'm saying that I'm saved by grace. I met God who loves me, and he's transforming my life, and I belong to him. That's all you're saying. And people might respond with this. You go to church? They might be surprised. God loves you? Then maybe God can love me too. I believe that the Holy Spirit is powerful, that he's a person of the Trinity that is working inside of every believer, but also outside of every non-believer, calling them to him. That work of God is going on all the time, if we're just sensitive to us. Jesus goes on and he says, I've said all these things to keep you from falling away. That was his whole purpose, to prepare his apostles. Jesus is saying, I'm telling you all of these things because I don't want you to lose what is most important, and that is your faith. I don't want you to make a mistake and be confused that just because the world hates you, that is any reflection on how much I love you. And I want you to go out there, and I want you to live and never abandon your faith. That's what he's saying to his apostles. That is what he's saying to us today. The world has hated us and rejected us and taken everything from us, but they can't take our faith. We live by faith. We are saved by faith. Faith is the most essential thing for me and for you. And my question this morning is this. Have you placed your faith in Jesus, your faith and trust in him? It's really very simple. The gospel is really very simple. comes down to a verse, simple, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life in him. Whoever is whoever. That means you. If you're watching online today, that means you. If you hear my voice, that means you. If you watch this online someday, somewhere, that means you. Whoever believes. Jesus went to a cross where he was crucified, and what kept him there? And I would say his love for you. And I hope you will say with me these words, I willingly embrace the world's hatred if it means even one soul can experience God's love and find acceptance in him. Wouldn't you do that for someone? Will you please stand as I pray? And by the way, as you're standing, I just want to say I want to be passing these cards out for Easter services. This is an opportunity. I believe the Holy Spirit is calling people. I think there's awakening going on in the United States right now. I think that after COVID and through everything, that there is an awakening going on. There's a spiritual sensitivity that hasn't been here for a while, and I believe people are going to come to Christ. And so I want to be a part of that, and I hope you want to be a part of that as well. Will you pray with me? Father God, we just are so grateful for the work that you are doing. And Father, for the awakening that is occurring in the United States. And Father, we just pray for revival. And we pray your Holy Spirit's anointing and conviction and that people will long for that place and long for a belonging that they can only find in you. That, Father, they will look for that home that cannot be taken away, that will never be moved, that only can be found in Christ. And Father, we just pray just now for these your children, that they, as they are hated, that their faith might grow, that they might be transformed, and they might understand it's because they're living in the image of your Son. And that, Father, that we will be hated in the world, but we will be loved and accepted, and we have this place in the church and in our eternal home, that we will be loved forever. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you have a decision to make this morning, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that right now. We're going to have another song of worship. And once again, if the Lord is calling you today, if you've got a decision to make, Chris is waiting. Come on down, and we'll be glad to receive you. Let's go ahead and worship him and celebrate his goodness. Let's sing.
might have got a little envelope in the mail recently with a Chris signature on it, and then for the Easter offering. And I think it's pretty cool, some of the missions that we reach. So the Easter offering will be going towards helping upgrade some lights in the parking lot, and then also with Open Arms. And if you're not sure about Open Arms, they've been open about 40 years now. And they started out for young ladies like that have had terrible home lives and stuff like that, to help get them sort of back on track when they, like their parents may have been put in prison or in jail or something like that, or had issues, and then sort of help get them towards foster parents and just sort of get them on the right track with the faith-based ministry. They recently opened up another home for boys. I think it has 24, they have 24 boys that can be there, and that's in Lyons as well. And it's just a great ministry. If you hear some of the stories of what these kids have went through, it's just incredible. But as you know, not only this special offering to help with that, but one out of every $6 goes towards missions. And God does not do addition. He does multiplication. He doesn't just one for one. Your dollar just doesn't go there. It multiplies. He goes 10, 100 folds and just reaches all over the world. And I think it's cool that we do stuff locally, but we also reach the whole, I don't know how many countries are in, probably over 40 or 50 countries that we reach. But I think it's a real blessing how our giving just reaches so many people and just brings across a mission, our word. And, you know, coming in this Easter time, we want them to know about the hope and the grace that the Lord has. And we do it through your tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you as we come towards this Easter time that we're able to give maybe a little extra to help with those, some things around the church, but also some things that reach outside this immediate community. And I just thank you that you've given us an opportunity to give and to bless those and multiply our giving. In these things we pray, dear Lord. Amen.
Hop on over to Forest Park's Cow Palace Pavilion on April 19th at 10 a.m. for thrilling Easter egg hunts. Arrive early for four age-appropriate hunts for kids 12 and under. The fun wraps up fast, so don't be late. Please drop individually wrapped non-chocolate candy into the bin by the welcome desk to make it a sweet success. On Sunday, May 18th, we're honoring the graduates during both worship services with a special breakfast for grads and families from 9:45 to 10:45. Grab a graduation form at the welcome desk or fill it out online or on our app to join us. Then on May 3rd, hit the spring vendor market in Cars for Crusaders Shop. Local vendors, show your car or truck or motorcycle for $15 and support Cornerstone Christian Academy. For more information about all that's happening at FCC, visit fccbrazil.org/events.
Yep, lots of great stuff going on. Keep up on that website. Some of that stuff's going to be coming to the app soon. So again, I just encourage you, if you don't have it already, check out the Church Center app. It's a pretty cool tool. If this is your first time with us today, we're so glad that you are here. I just want to extend a quick invitation to you as we're getting ready to wrap up. We've got a desk set up out there in the lobby, and we have something there waiting for you just to say thank you for joining us today. We'd love to give that to you and just be able to meet you face-to-face. So I would just invite you to stop by that desk on your way out. It's right by the exit. You can just kind of see it as you're heading out there, and we would just love to be able to connect with you one-on-one. Really glad that you're here, seriously. And for the rest of us, Chris brought it up, mentioned the mission, so very important, vital part of what we do. I love that we said in the message, Jesus uses repetition. So do we. Every single week, this is so important. You know, I think the average is we have to hear something repeated like 7 times. I think, is it something like 7 times before it really sticks or we learn it well or something like that? Well, we do this every week. That's how important this is. And here at FCC, we say it a little bit like this. The church is now leaving the building to, leading them to a loving Father, a caring family, and a life-changing faith. And that's because we believe the Bible, we love others, we seek God first, and we share Christ. Would you all go ahead and stand with me? We'll have our final closing chorus. Keep that mission in mind. It's so very important. Let's go out remembering that we can have confidence in our God because He is always the same, and He is our firm foundation. Let's sing.
Where there's water, you can part it.
Come on.
Where there's fire, you can walk right through.